Everybody, this is a tremendous chus to be here in the yeshiva. First of all, my first time being in Eretz Yisrael in 18 years. So it's been a very long time. I imagine most of you, and I imagine all of you are 18, around that age. So Baruch Hashem, really, it's incredible to be here. It is also a tremendous chus to be able to give a shiur at your son's yeshiva. That's also a tremendous chus. It's also a tremendous chus that I come from a city of champions. We're champions. We are the champions. So that's also a tremendous chus as well. And to say that I come from champions, where I come from, we haven't been able to say for more than 18 years. So there we go. It's an additional amazing thing. As well as, you should know, I always give a shiur at 11:30, East Coast time. You remember the East Coast? Remember? It's like winter, snow, cold. Yeah, anyways, doesn't matter. But I usually give a shiur at 11:30 on the East Coast, which happens to correspond very similar to now. So I told the guys and the at York University, I'll be giving a shiur at the same time, and they'll be able to also perhaps tap in as well. So this is an opportunity, really, to connect different cities, different people. And what connects us? Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is an amazing thing. Shiv to beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. It's an incredible schus to be able to learn. You should thank your parents for giving you this schus to be able to come learn in a yeshiva. It's an incredible thing. I'm sure many of your parents or grandparents were able to dream that their children will be able to learn Torah full time in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. That's something which your grandparents, great grandparents, would never be able to basically dream of. I'm sure for many of them. So this is wonderful. Okay, let's begin. Here we go. So the topic, the title for tonight is Klalei HaTalmud. That certain principles, certain rules that a student needs to be able to appreciate, needs to be able to know, needs to be able to, certain values need to be able to inculcate. And I titled it, When to Listen and When to Argue. You know, in a Bishmedrish, we like arguing. Right? You say this, I say that. You know, the Tanaim, the Moraim, people like to argue. It's what it's like what we like to do in every daf. People are arguing. But to argue for the sake of arguing has no value. And sometimes we argue prematurely. So what I want to do is, I want to take a look at a few sugyos in the Gemara, which appear in a couple different places. That's the first Yidin Makotos. And then, once we understand certain principles, we'll see how much time we have, I want to actually show how the Chovos Levavos understands these principles as well. That's on that second sheet. And as a bonus, again, if time permits, I want to take a look at to see, are we even allowed to argue on the Talmud? Can we argue in the Gemara? Can we argue in the Rishonim? Can we have the right to argue on the Poskim? What can we argue with? How do we argue? When can we argue? We'll see that as well. Okay, so let's take a look. So here we go. Take a look at this is not balancing very well. Oh, very good. That's a good one. Okay, source number one. A volunteer to read. And it's a big crowd. Volunteer to read. Call out somebody. The Canadians I know, I can call in any Canadian in the room, fair game. Right? From Shana Aleph to Shana Bet, from Army, from, right? Even Montreal is considered Canada still. So we could even choose, I don't know if you're just laughing because you think it's funny, but it's true. Montreal debates, cut away from Canada now. We don't care, let them cut away. Okay, Tzvi, go ahead, source number one. So I put that on, even though it's not really connected. It's tangentially connected, but it was such an opening line. This Gemara, the Sugos and Gemara, really talk about many things that are connected to Torah. As always, remember, we should always start with Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah is something to remind ourselves in terms of the importance of what it is to give proper honor to Torah. And he quoted a pasuk. Okay, this is going to be our focus. Continue. Dvar Acher. Okay. First you have to stop, and then afterwards you can start to stop. Okay. So this is a pasuk found in... you like Chumash, yeah? It's still considered Talmud Torah, Chumash, not just Gemara, right? I think sometimes in yeshiva you remind yourselves of that, right? But I believe that's the case. So... Haskes to Shema Yisrael. So this pasuk is said by who? By Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So what exactly, you know, why say Haskes? Instead, get to the point. What's the point? Shema Yisrael. So the Gemara on this wants to say, wait a second, as introduces this word that Moshe Rabbeinu uses to introduce what he wants to say is haskes. What a strange word. What a very odd word. What does it mean? So says, the Gemara says, I'll explain exactly what it's referring to, what it in follows, and the words of Rava. But what exactly Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says haskes, it's cut into two words, has and ksas. So what does that mean? Continue to read, just read Rava. Okay, interesting. Okay, paskin maybe is a little bit too far. Okay, we'll see. Take a look at Rashi. Has. So, anyone know who actually uses the word has? Who says has? So, the answer is, it's a giveaway, because as Rashi quotes it, what does he say? Stoke. Quiet. Kamo vayas Kalev. Kalev, in the aftermath of the Meraglim, he gets up, and what does he tell everybody? Shh, quiet. Stoke. In this context, look what Moshe wants to say. Shtok. And then, Vahaze l'shmuascha. Be quiet, and then what should you do? Listen. What should you listen? Listen to your shmuah. What is shmuah here referring to? Listen to what you're being taught. What you're being taught. Listen. Until Achitia Shigura Beficha. Learn, listen, don't make sure it's Shagur Beficha. Make sure you know the words. Make sure you know the Sugya. Make sure you know the Pshat. Word by word. Chumash. Gemara. Af al pi she'ei namiyusheves. This is unbelievable. Even if it's namiyusheves, let's say it's not totally clear, you don't quite understand everything. Keep quiet. Vacharkach. Then, once you've listened, you've read it, it's shagur b'ficha, you know it, understand it. Maybe there's something that's not clear. Once you know it, then you can start asking questions. Then, wait a second, I have a kasha, maybe from a different sugya. But that word is translated. How does this pshat, this pasuk, fit with perhaps a different location, or a different makor, or earlier on in Chumash, earlier on in Chumash? Vetaretz. And then try and figure out how to resolve the questions that you might have. So again, what's Rashi saying? What's the Gemara saying? Has quiet. Be quiet at first. And then and only then, there's our Seder Halimud. Sometimes when we learn, we start learning, we start asking all these questions. Says the Gemara, quiet. Don't ask, keep your mouth silent. Read, review, know it, and only perhaps once you've seen enough Pekias, only perhaps once you've seen the entire... Does it ever happen to you? You start learning, and you think you have a question, mamish, you're the person you're of, reincarnated. Right? Look at my kashe, I'm bully. You're a chacha, the Manishtana. It's like the two lines later in the Gemara says it, right? But the problem is that you're starting to ask kashis if it's yields on the bottom of the omelet, right? Right? So, stop, quiet. Focus, read, learn. Don't start, you know, start asking a million questions first to understand perhaps you've read the sugya. This sugya, this short passage, appears again in another Gemara. It's in Avodah Zarah. Oh, sorry, the second Rashi. Yeah, again, right? So again, so what does Rava say? Lo yumod adam Torah hagach yagah. First learn, then do yagah, which is yayin. First maybe bekiyas, and then do yin. Sometimes we jump often before we see the totality of a sugya. It's against the Gemara. Also zimdo against the Gemara. Okay, Gemara Avodah Zarah number two. So again, I did a similar thing here with Amar Rava, even though it's not necessarily connected to what we were talking about. I like doing the pasuk before. I can even connect it to the yeshiva and Shalavim in a minute. So you go ahead. Gemara Avodah Zarah, source number two.
place where your heart desires. Shenemar, ki b'tzaras Hashem chafetz adet. B'tzar of Hashem, we desire.
Right? You're only supposed to in a place. It's amazing. This is why I think this is something which Shalavim, the yeshiva, truly understands. Right? They make it in a way, libo chafetz. If you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here. But they want you to be here, and everyone wants to be here, and that's why everybody's here. Right? But it has to be done. Libo chafetz. We know, and it's not like we forget about this. It's not just a matter of like the learning is. It's not just about the learning is good. It's libo chafetz. We have the sense of hanav, the sense of pleasure, of tanug, has to be enjoyable. That's part of it. Libo has to be chafetz. Right? It's the best learning. Just because it's the best learning, if it's not libo chafetz, then it's not going to work. Okay, fine. We're going to have the yeshiva. And then again, we'll continue it with at least in a couple lines ago, just read on, please, Svi. Amar Rava.
First,
it'll be
called
an Hashem's name, and then eventually it'll be your own name, Shinemar, Tarat Hashem Chafatzo, Tarasso, Yege Yomavala. Beautiful. Right? So again, once you Yege Yomavala, it becomes part of you, right? It assimilates into you, right? That's the, but first it's Hashem's Torah, and eventually once you Yege Yomavala, it becomes integral to your kishkis, to neshama as well. Okay, and I'm a Rava, here we go, the same quote as before.
And then ask your passions.
Okay, good. Let's stop there. Take a look at the Rashi underneath it.
Oh, those little chafzel? Papa Kamar Kurak. He gave the Torah Hashem Osa Chafzel. And you should first want Hashem's Torah.
Okay.
And then Nigger's Hashem Osa. Shalos Tamash Tarah, who was Mitarah and his Torah, worked on it. Kilosu, Mitarah, so the Mashmash of Kalada. Anyone can get it.
Okay, so this is very important. Meaning, what happens? You start learning, it's Hashem's Torah. But once you're Matriach, and this is a very important idea, you have to have a little bit of Tircha. If it comes too easy, and you didn't struggle with the sugya, you're not going to be able to appreciate it. It's going to disappear very quickly. Okay, go on.
She learned from Rebbe, and so the actual hearsay of the Talmud, the Gemara, and its explanation is already changed.
Okay, this is an amazing statement. You see the statement? Yumar Adam, mi Rabo. Learn from your Rebbe. Now, this is actually interesting. What about in the modern world when we have Sfar? Remember, in those days, you know, you have a Baba Basra? It didn't exist. No, you guys knew Baba Kama, sorry. Baba Kama, right? Baba Kama. In those days, they didn't have Baba Kama. So how would you know what the Gemara says? You needed a Rebbe, right? That's how you knew what the text said. Otherwise, how would you know what the Gemara says? So, but what do you need to do? I just girsas a Talmud who perusho shigur lo b'fiv. So not only do you learn from your Rebbe the text of the Gemara, which maybe you could get today from a million different other places, Ulai, Efsher. But you need a Rebbe in order to understand how it's translated. How is this understood? You need a Rebbe. You need to learn from it. And then what do? Then you have Yeah again. What do you need to do? Ya'ayin b'talmudo lidmos milsa l'milsa. What's Yegiya b'torah? Iyun. To compare one word to another place. The Hakshosh of the Tarets. And listen to this. To read these words to me, go ahead. Ubrishona.
So
what happened? How come you can't start with it? You know why? Rebbe's only there for a finite amount of time. So you gotta get it down first. You have to understand the words of the Gemara. You have to understand what they mean. Once you have that, right? Otherwise, it could lead to Bittul Torah. It'll lead to Bittul Torah unless you sit down and struggle b'fiv in front of a Rebbe. That's the function of a Rebbe, right? You're not going to be able to, you don't always have access to the Rebbe. He's only at the Seder for a few minutes, for an hour. How are you going to struggle b'fiv? That's the job of a Rebbe. Okay? Now what happens? Go ahead, Vod.
only once you go over it a lot of times. If Hazara was a Hazara, then it's a Yashik and Tamuda.
I want to make everybody laugh. Okay? But what do we see from here? It's Mashik with Tamuda. Once I have a Yishu, I know it, I'm familiar with it, then I don't need a Rebbe anymore. In theory. Why? Because I can answer the kashas myself. Because I'm familiar with the sugyos for the shas. That my Rebbe taught me. And what can I do? I'll be able to answer. That's already a different level. That's a level of shalavim. Right? Shana dalit. No, right? But that's very important. But first, you know it, you're familiar with it, your Rebbe taught it to you. And then all of a sudden, with that information, what are you able to do? You can answer the kashas. Right? That's not a stira, I know that. So again, we live in a world where we don't necessarily need a Rebbe for the text of Baba Kama. You don't need to go to Rebbe in Shalavim. For the text of Baba Kama, you go to a bookshelf or Lavdel to a computer, right? In order to find the text. You don't need a Rebbe for a text anymore. That you did perhaps at one time, that's not the case anymore. Okay, but still, the Perusho, that you need a Rebbe. Right? Now again, the Rebbe, or you need a good dictionary, right? Could also help you, potentially. Okay? Which could be. Okay, just finish the line. So that's the Perka Roa, right? That's the last Perka Brahos, so that's referring to Rashi saying, you know, look at source number one. And then how does he connect it? Because he says Has. Okay, fine. That's what we did already. Fine. So that's the first level. So again, a very important message. We'll need to summarize. First, listen, get the girsa, misa sheves, and then eventually, when you're familiar with the actual Gemara itself, you have to ask questions. And not only can you ask the questions, which is perhaps even stage one, you'll be able to answer them. Now. There's a Rashi in source 3. The context of the Rashi, I'm not going to get into. It's too complicated. We don't have time. But instead, I want to show you how important it is in terms of Rishonim, the Gemara in Rishonim. Let me give you an example before you see this Rashi. There's Mishnah. There's Gemara. Now, what's the difference between a Mishnah and a Gemara when it comes to learning? Meaning, we have a text of a Mishnah, or a Braisa for that matter. How much of that text are we able to dissect and argue, potentially even learn a halacha from? How much of a text of a Mishnah can we take at face value, and how do we deal with this? We often encounter this in our learning. Obviously, we get to a Gemara, and they take that Mishnah and they shred it to pieces. Right? It's like, what are you talking about? We're not left with anything original Mishnah. How can they do that? Who do you think you are, Ravina, Ravashi? Who do you think you are? Right? What do? They take a Mishnah and they shred it to pieces. How could that be? How is it even possible? So when I ask the question, what's the difference between a Mishnah and a Gemara, that's also very important. Not only that, but even the Amoraim are not the same. If I had to ask a question, that's interactive. I don't know how many people come up here just interactive. It's interactive. Who do you think is more correct? An earlier Amora or a later Amora? How many people say an earlier Amora? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. Don't be like a wimp, like a Canadian. Raise your hand high. High. What's an earlier Amora? Okay, good. I'm going to say a later Amora. Raise your hand. How many people have no opinion in life? Again? Okay, fine. There you go. Don't answer that question. All right. Let's take a look. This, my friends, this is a klal in learning. Very important. This is a klalim. That's what we're doing today. A little klalim in learning. Let's take a look at this, Rashi. Now we're ready. Okay. Want to try this Rashi to me?
Oh.
Go ahead.
So the fact that it's saved,
right, exactly, good. Stop. Oh, good. No, I cut you off too early. Oh, right. Meaning, right. This is very important. Ain lemid. This is a cloud. Ain lemidin halacha mipi Talmud mitoch haMishnah ubraisa. Talmud here doesn't mean Talmud. Talmud means Talmud. Right? Talmud doesn't mean Gemara here. You cannot learn a halacha from a Mishnah or a Braisa.
Can you believe it?
Mishnah! Tanayim! You're not allowed to... Why not? What, Rebbe didn't know what he was doing? Very important. Go ahead, Shin. Okay, what is this? How does Mishnah work? Most Mishnahs, how are they written? What does it say by Mishnah? What usually is it says what? Stop, halacha employee, right? One liner. Mutter aser. Right? Right? Simple, concise. Does it explain the reason behind why that Tana said X or Y? Why is it putter? Why is it aser? Why yichayev? What? Very few exceptions. Go on. Okay, and therefore, again, because shinui ben halacha employee. It's closed. Halacha is like Ploni. You can't learn from it. Halacha! Can you believe it? It's so counterintuitive. It says in a Mishnah, or later, it's halacha like a Ploni, or we have different klalim. You can't pass in that way. You can't pass in that way. So when I say Sharla, I know Shas, Mishnah is Baal Peh. Guess what? You cannot pass in one halacha. By knowing, that's wonderful to know. You cannot paskin one halacha from Shas Mishnayos. Not one. Shocking. Continue. Okay, listen to the language. Which one is more important? Amoraim, the earlier Amoraim, the later Amoraim. Answer? Later. Very good. That's the majority. Very good. Wait. Sorry. It's my fault. You're going to have to slow down a little. Now, what's the reason? What's the rationale? Why is it that the later Amoraim are superior? Why? Ditku bitameh hatanoim. They were more, shall we say, medayik in the language of the Tanaim. And therefore, we paskin more like a later Amora. Later, Amoraim can argue. Go ahead, Vahemidu. Halacha al Buria. That's why we pass on halacha like that. Now, what does it mean? Because they explain it. So they take a Mishnah and they crack the code of the Mishnah. Remember, let's appreciate something. Rebbe needed to create Mishnayos that were extremely concise. And as we know, sometimes he even used language in a Mishnah just because the pattern rhymed better. It started at 2 and 2 and 2 and 4. We know that from many cases, right? You guys are reading Baba Kama, right? So he did it in a way. By the way, why did he do it that way? Why would Rebbe? Rebbe's smart. Why would he write Mishnayos in a certain way? If you want to know. He was the redactor Mishnah. It's a fancy word, right? I'm at the college, I know the word to redact the Mishnah. Beautiful, right? So the redactor of Mishnayos, why did he do it that way? Anyone know why? Why? Because they're about Peh. If you need to know something about Peh, you got to keep a pattern, right? Sefer, Resha, 2, 4, make it rhyme. It's much easier to remember. And, but let's, favorite example is the first Mishnah. What's the first Mishnah? Shas? Memasa Korei. What time? Well, by the way, when? When can we start? When? Kohanim? Nidachotumasan. That might be the strangest time ever. That. What should the Mishnah? If you want to write a Mishnah and give me a clear answer, what would you have said? That's exactly what the Gemara has to deal with the next few blocks. Why? Why does Rebbe do it? Why did he specifically throw in the taunt of Kohanim to eat the Truma? Because in order to?
2 bridges, 1 stone.
2 kills with 1 stone. In order to? Maybe you're a genius. My son's Toronto. Right? Okay? You're teaching 2 halachos. You teach halacha of when a Kohen eats Truma. You can mention Beis HaMikdash. He did it in a way that you needed a Rebbe. You needed to say, wait a second. If it's too clear and too obvious, there's much less learning that's involved. There's less masal matan. There's less conversation. There's less, wait, did he mean this or did he mean that? Why did he mean this? Why is that? He intentionally wrote it in a way that was long. By the way, another reason why he did it that way was because he wasn't allowed to write down Mishnayos. Because, of course, it was Torah. He had to write down Mishnahs. He had no choice. But in order to ensure the continuation of the Masorah, Rebbe to Talmud, he wanted to ensure that would still be maintained. How could he do it? By putting in a Mishnah, writing a Mishnah that was complex, that required conversation in order to crack the nut of the Mishnah. That's why he specifically wrote it that way. Okay? That was slightly off topic, but that's very important to mention. So again, Aval HaRishonim. So you want to continue? Second line, source 3. Okay. Right? So what would they do? The earlier... But since you're Aval HaRishonim, it doesn't mean Rishonim, right? It means the earlier Amoraim. They were not medayik. Ishvidei mechaveru. They were not medayik. They didn't necessarily explain the reasons behind what they said. What did they do instead? Shisham Rabbo. Oh, okay. My Rebbe said this. I wrote it down. If you hear something from a Rebbe and you write it down, that has, are you ready for this? The status of like a Mishnah. Why? Because a Mishnah by definition means something that we're not medayik in the time. We're not medayik necessarily in the reason and the rationale for it. As Rashi says, v'hi ha'isa nikret mishnah u'braisa. You follow? Meaning, it's a mishnah u'braisa and it's not a mishnah u'braisa in many ways. I mean, the definition of a mishnah u'braisa is something that is written down. And we're not medayik. There's no timing. We don't know the reason, rationale. We don't explain things. It's just the text as is. It's what you get from your Rebbe and it's transmitted and recorded and written down. That's what it means. Okay. V'haya nosen libo laseis tam nishmo asan. Zen nosen tam nidvar. Zen nosen tam nidvar. Acher. And then sometimes they would, right? They write down the explanations for each one. As it says, ligmor inish v'hadar v'ispir, right? Teach it and explain it. Osa svara haisen igres talmud. Ah. But when they give a svara, that's called Talmud. So again, no svara is really considered Mishnah. The moment they record and write down a svara, that's considered Talmud. And that's why that's what it's referring to. Good. And if it's just recorded with no explanation, that's considered basically essentially a Mishnah. The ain limidim haymena, you can't learn anything from it. Okay. You know, it's never a good thing to be in between you and food. It's not a very good thing to do. So I realized that I'm in between here and food, so I want to make sure I end 3 minutes early. That's what I was told. Okay, so 7:27. Okay. Not 7:37. That's a plane. That's a very bad time. Okay. What do we want to do? There's a very important Rosh. Okay, let's go to the Chavos of Vavos. So this is what's important here for the Chavos of Vavos. Chavos of Vavos is a Rishon. And he did not write in Hebrew. He wrote it in Arabic. And shall we say there's good translation, better translations. The best translation of Chavos of Vavos was written by of Kappach. Kabach, there's a Bnei Brak. There's a Bnei Brak, right? He wrote a very, Kabach. He's his darker skin than I do, and all of you. He is a Taimani. He's an expert in Arabic, medieval Arabic, and he translated it as a, Ibn Tibbin, who also translated it, was not medayik as much. He made a number of mistakes. So this comes from, actually Feldman, it's funny, Feldman actually published this version. This is much more Maduric translation of the Chos of Vavos, by the also more Nevuchim. Also, there's better translations. But more importantly, the Perish of Mishnayos of the Rambam. The Perish of Mishnayos of the Rambam. There's a much better translation, either of Kappach, or also, he wrote a translation, or and more recently, is Rav Kappach. What's his name? Korach, can't forget the name. Right, but Korach, we know the translation. Also, he has a kol, I think, in Bnei Brak that was published. It's actually fascinating that, believe it or not, these quote-unquote modern-day translations are accepted way more than Ibn Tibbin, even though he lived 100 years earlier. And this is true in the Haredi world, for lack of a better term, and even in the academic world, that these two translations of Kappach and Korach are accepted much more as a more authoritative and medieval translation. There's a number of differences. Go take a look. I'm not getting into it right now. But anyway, this is from Shar Avodas Hashem, Shar Avodas Elohim, by the Chovos Levavos, and I've been schus for the last 20 years to learn at a kollel on Sundays, 21 years maybe, and this is where these are the topics that we tangentially deal with. So here's, I want to just show you something fascinating. The Kevan, take a look. We're at the page one over here, at the beginning of the paragraph. I'm going to go very quickly. So I'd really even like to get to the second part of the other Makar sheet. The Kivan Shator Milim Yinar Nechlu B'nei Adab L'Limud HaSefer. Let's like, okay, he's going to say there's 10 levels of learning. Listen, this is amazing. 10 levels of learning. You tell me where you think you fit. Ready? Here's level one. Chilasan. Anashim Shechlu Likros HaTorah V'amoraos. A guy B'nei Chumash. Right? Torah, Tzi, V'lanu, Reish, Klomar, HaChumash V'mikra. A guy could read. By the way, there are some people who can't even do that. It's a mylet to know how to read Hebrew. Right? I am asking people to have me man or Yudhiyah Sakhriya. But Lila Havin, and they don't understand what they're saying. But they can read. They know Lashon HaKadosh, they know how to read. Ve'enam Yodim Pirish Malim Vishimusher Lashon Varehem Bidargas Chamor Nosei Sfarim. They're like a chamor who carries around Sfarim. Right? By the way, just the ability to read today, Jewish literacy is an incredible thing. Just to read Hebrew is an amazing thing. Baruch Hashem, there's a country here that has, I don't know, millions of people know how to do this. That's pretty good. Every single Israeli, right, is the first level. That's pretty good. In America, I can't say that. Right? I can't say that about American Jews. I can't even say that about Jews who go to yeshiva. None of them can always read. Right? Anyways, not for now. We'll talk about the American education system. That's right. They can actually read, and they even know Dikdikla Tunuot. You know what that is? Tunuot means this. Apple. Look at me, I'm crazy. Right? They know what? They know how to, what's that called?
Syllables.
Very good. They don't know how to read properly. I think the Rambam writes in his Perush Mishnah, what's considered a mitzvah dorah, mitzvah kala kachamura, right? Mitzvah kala kachamura. The Rambam uses an example of what's a kala? Speaking Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, right? Could be a mitzvah doraisa. Vasa Rovi Janabi Yisrael Mekarot Nikud, they actually ought to write based on the Nikud of the Masoras. Okay, that's already level 2. But they're going to be Dayak, right? They understand the Dikdu. They don't just read. They understand the Dikdu. La Yachid, Rabbi, Mavar, all that. Those things you hated to do when you were a child. Vadar Gashlishis, Anashim Shidu Chasrono Som Shigur Layal, they know everything about. The Fichas, Nizam Tamim, the Nikud, they understand it. Just want to go quickly. They know that Yudim Shemos HaPalim, the Osios, the letters, the Chibur, the Perud. They understand even a higher level of Dikduk. I guess the second level is only minor levels of Dikduk. Obviously, they know even more. They can conjugate it themselves. That's a lot. It's a Maila. This is a Chavos Levavos. This is the Rishonim speaking. Number 4. People who know, show Sifu Amishis here, they know everything above. And people show they actually understand to translate. Not just Rabbi Art Scroll. They know how to translate the Pshat from the Ksuvim, from Tanakh, the Chakruzos. Okay, fine. Continue to, good. 5. It's underlined again. 5. Darka Chamishis. Sifu, everything above. And what do they do? Kitve Kodesh. They know the root words. Vedituk. They know, okay. Kimafarsha Kisve Kodesh, Kipshutam, Biladeh Kabbalah. They understand the translation of Tanakh. Now we're at level 6. And it seems to some for Kabbalah Atika, they understand the old tradition, meaning Mishnah. Oh, here we go, finally. Number six, Mishnah. The first 5 is just Chumash. Level 6 is Mishnayos. V'yizkulah mitzvah chuvah Torah, mitzvahs, mishpat, and a little bit of the Torah, mitzvahs. Miblil, they don't even open up the Babylonian Talmud. They're not there yet. Not there. Number 7. Anashim Shesifu, everything above, and now a little bit of Talmud. Yishtidu Lamed Apeh. Off by heart. Miblu the Torah, Kushos. Liftoch Mandalav. They cannot resolve a contract. They can't even open up, right? They can't even open up the beautiful warehouses of the Gemara. Now level 8. Ashoya must speak lahem midat the Torah, must speak everything above, and he truchwatz mam. They put effort, la vin divrei balei Talmud. In order for it to become exalted. But, this is unbelievable. You'd think if you're level 8, that guy should get Mafter Yonah. That guy is, he knows Shas! No, because he's missing something. He's missing Chovas Levavos. What does it mean? Let's continue reading. This is unbelievable. He's mixing up with his character traits. There's a pagam in his character traits. The ibdu mifcha yemem b'limud mitzios mizar b'mizem mishpatim v'chol muzar mitvar makashim b'piska dinim. So he knows. He knows what's strange about the halachos. He knows the shema machlok as balei ashmos b'mikum nidim asher yervu b'nei yerivim. Right? He knows a little bit. However, he could even... He knows what Hashem wants. Okay. It's amazing. He's even able to explain things. He's able to figure out questions and contradictions, but he's missing the chiyuv of chol v'vavos. He explained that earlier. The chiyuv of chol v'vavos. He's missing Tanya Tiago in his life. He might know a tremendous amount of information, but he's missing a very important component. He doesn't use his mind properly. He doesn't use his mind. He sometimes focuses on too many things that are in the physical material world. He doesn't always think about and connect everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not always mispire from the Borei Olam and from the world around you. He often disconnects those things and he's missing something. He doesn't have the Chovas Halvavos. That is only... So this is a person who Shas. He can answer questions. In theory, who knows? Maybe we could give him an incredible position in many yeshivas, right? He doesn't view, this person doesn't view that everything properly comes from his baruch. It's not enough of his neshama and his kishkes. That is only level 9. That's the darga hachiz. Right? That's what he says here. The guy in level 8 was matriach atzmam. Right? However, that he has total control over his evarim, his body. And he realizes... Like sometimes if I do this, I'll be mafsid my aver. Right? This is not the purpose of why I have these body parts. This is not the purpose of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me. If you miss that, you're stuck at level 8. He's able to understand and comprehend, right? He's Vet Kodesh and their secrets. Okay. He's able to give mishpat. Wonderful. Okay. And then finally, the 10th level is somebody, if you know anybody like this, please let me know. Because those are people we should, give a tremendous honor to. They're the people who, Anashim Sheyarshu, they literally inherited the Diyas Sefer Torah from the Nevi'im, Alei Mashal. They inherited the Torah from the Nevi'im themselves. They're all the Pirushim, the Zifei, their secrets, everything about them. And we call these people Anshei Knesset HaGdola. So Anshei Knesset HaGdola, these are the people, the Tanoim, they received all the information. Okay, that's the Darga HaSiri, which most people say, everyone says, we don't really have today at all. Okay, so a few things. One, we have people who learn, and they read, they listen, and only once they listen do they begin to ask questions. And not only that, but we see here the Chovas HaVavos says, Chovas HaTamidim, that's even safer. That's also a good safer. The Chovas HaVavos is saying that a person's ability to truly understand why you were created and your purpose of creation and to be able to infuse everything, that would be considered the ninth Madrega, which is basically the highest Madrega that a person could have in the world we live in today. Once, of course, we've accumulated all the other knowledge and abilities beforehand. But I want to end with one important point. Let's say I have learned Gemara well. Let's say I'm familiar with Shas. I now want to, okay, that's nice, but what do I do? What am I supposed to do? Right? I'm going to write, but you should know, I'm in a halacha conundrum right now being in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Why? The Sen Talmud, Toli Bracha, I'm sure you dealt with this before, right? You guys started already on the 7th of Cheshvan. In Chutz Laaretz, we start when? September 4th, September 5th, right? In December, right? I'm only here for 6 days. Only here for 6 days. I'm not, by the time I come back, it won't be Vesentom Adlivracha in Chutz Laaretz. Okay, what to do? Not for now. But meaning, you have to know what to do. By learning the Gemara, you're not going to figure out what to do. That situation is not really, you know, it says we could better destroy that a little bit, but not exactly, because they couldn't fathom someone coming for just, you know, a short period of time. That was almost not possible. So, what are you supposed to do? Okay. The Rosh in number 4 is a massive Rosh. I also want to get to it. Turn, the Rosh deals with, okay, I'll give you the Sugya in Sanhedrin. Did the Shiva do Sanhedrin? You guys do Sanhedrin? Sanhedrin, no. Sanhedrin deals with what happens if you're a Dayan and you make a mistake. Make a mistake, it happens, make a mistake. You're a judge, you adjudicate, and he says, you're Chayav, and you're like, oh, that's wrong. Oops, what am I supposed to do? So it depends on what type of mistake that you make. Is that Dayan Chayav? Imagine living in a world where a judge who makes a mistake is in Chayav. Yes, write a check. He made a mistake. Okay? Have to redo the court case. It again, depending on what type of mistake it is and how you're supposed to know what type of mistake it is, that's the sugi over here. But what happens in a case, I'm just going to say this outside in the Rosh. What happens if I feel as a judge, as a Dayan, that it's not clear in the Gemara what the halacha is in a certain situation, as we know. The Gemara can't do that, it only gives it certain principles. And I feel the halacha should be like X. Even though Rove of the Rishonim, if not, I was going to say Y. The Rosh says it depends on this Dayan. If this Dayan is told, you paskin like X, do you know that everyone else says Y? He's like, oh, I didn't know that. He's chayav, he has to pay. That would redo the case. What Dayan says, no, I'm aware of that. I know that everyone says Y, but I still say X. Do you know why I say X? Because I have rayas from the Gemara and from Sugyos and Shas that Y is not right. But I say X. Guess what? He's allowed to do that. He's a Dayan. Says the Rosh, if he feels that's the case, Yiftach l'dero k'shmo b'dero, madilo. He's allowed to do so, make such a statement. See, if you want to take a look in the Rosh, again, it's only if he's familiar with them. By the way, he does even the Pesach of the Gonim, right? A Dayan is allowed to go again, you have to have a lot of broad shoulders. You need very broad shoulders to make such a statement. But a modern day Dayan, who is familiar with the Shas and postgame, is allowed to say, I disagree because I have Rayas. You can't just say, I disagree. It's very easy to disagree. I need Rayas and Shas. So if I have Rayas and I have proofs against, and you have broad shoulders, you can say that. You're allowed to do and make such a statement. That's a very powerful. That's a very powerful statement. But in theory, you'd be like, "That's what the Rosh is saying." Okay, why is this important? It's important because sometimes when we learn, we have to understand that the key to learning is understanding what is the bottom line. Sometimes in the Gemara, what are they concluding? What are they saying? Once we get there, once we can understand that, it gives a tremendous amount of appreciation. But what about the next level?
Right.
It's called level 8. You want to ask questions. And eventually you're going to start to learn, perhaps not now because you're younger, but some of you definitely are going to start to learn Shulchan Aruch and Poskim. Right? And we want to deal with statements in the Shulchan Aruch. You have to follow. Is the Shulchan Aruch a closed book? Is it closed and sealed? So a very important klal. You cannot go, if a Gemara says something, it is very hard to go against the Gemara. Very hard. I'm not saying that there aren't those that do. They do. Good example might be, you know, eating in a sukkah on Shemir Atzeres and Chutz Aretz. Right? The Gemara black and white says, you got to eat in a sukkah on Chutz Aretz on Shemir Atzeres. Like, it's not, it's like black and white. Right? I'm sure many of your families do not. How do they do it? Okay, that's a topic for another time. But generally speaking, what the Pesach of a Gemara is, the Pesach of the Gemara is Islam. But when it's, what about if it's perhaps potentially unclear? Then what do we do? That's where things get a lot more complicated. So the Shulchan Aruch is coming, and can we argue on the Shulchan Aruch? That's his Pisrei Tshuva. There's a very important Shach, and they basically say, yes, if you have, if you know the Rayos well enough, and you can prove otherwise, you would be allowed to, again, not even Joe Schmo, not even Shana Gimel that Shalavim could do this. Huh. Right? Maybe Shana Del, no, I'm kidding, right? But if you really know, you have an ability, and you have an ability to argue and say, yes, that's a Psa, that's a Shana Aruch. By the way, you know who does this? Mishnah Berurah does it all the time. The Gra does it all the time. The Shach often, you see, in many cases, but that's only if you, of course, have seen everything and appreciate everything and understand everything. Okay. Let's end off here for now. So what do we see today? We saw today the following. We saw this important principle called Haskes. This principle that first, and this is again a trap in yeshiva, we often run before we walk. And that first you need to do is quiet, listen, learn from the Rebbe, learn from the Gemara, what does it say, what's the language, let's commit. Just getting there, you're already level 5, level 6, and levels of levels of levels. That's because, hopefully, we've already done levels 1 to 4 and 1 to 5, right, so the levels of levels. Then, once you've accomplished that, again, don't run yet. You're not there yet. Have an appreciation for what it, when it, you appreciate what it says. When you appreciate, then you begin to mitaritz kushios. In fact, you might, I mean, you don't even need a Rebbe for that necessarily because you've seen so much. Again, if you're zochet, not spend enough time learning to reach such a level. Once that's accomplished, and what's the reason why sometimes people are able, what's the definition of Mishnah versus Talmud, right? That means if it's just stated and not explained. Often the Shulchan Aruch, by the way, has a status of what we'd say Mishnah. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch states a fact. Doesn't always explain it. Comes along the commentators, the Achronim, and often need to explain. Where did the Beis Yosef get this from? Where did the Shulchan Aruch get it from? Well, got to look at the Beis Yosef, right? But it just, that in many ways, the Shulchan Aruch has the status of a Dvar Mishnah. It's stated, can you argue on a Dvar Mishnah? It depends. How can you argue on a Dvar Mishnah? If you know it, if you're familiar with the Sugyos, in theory, you can argue on a Dvar Mishnah. The later Acharonim were Medayik, and the later Amoraim were Medayik and the language and explain things better in terms of Mishnayah. So too, in theory, if you're able to understand the Sugyos better, you could potentially argue against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Right? That's the Shailas of the Yavetz over there in source number 7. Bishrei Tshuva, that's essentially what they are saying as well. So I think sometimes you have to appreciate in terms of learning, we should really spend a tremendous amount of time just appreciating their moment. Shift b'veis Hashem kol mechayai. I imagine most of you will not be able to spend your entire life being in the close to base of Medrash. I understand it's not realistic. We have tremendous, a few rabbis that I've met over the last 30 hours, and what I hear from my son Svi, incredible, incredible rabbis here who want to teach and who want to learn. Take advantage of those opportunities because they're not going to be around forever. And the strength of a person is that what do they do after yeshiva? I see a lot of guys after yeshiva, right? When you do a month after yeshiva, 2 months after yeshiva, it almost doesn't matter. What are you doing a year at yeshiva, 2 years at yeshiva, 3 years at yeshiva? Are you still running in terms of learning? Are you still going to Tfilah B'Tzibur? Are you still involved in? Those are the things that ultimately are going to define who and what you are. It's easy to be a ben yeshiva in yeshiva. But the greatest challenge, what are you doing many years later? So I should wish you, I should give you a bracha as we almost enter Rosh Chodesh Kislev. I couldn't believe it, almost Rosh Kislev. The bracha should be, you know, it's amazing, Rosh Chodesh, right? The moon is very small when it comes to the beginning of the month. But we know, why is B'nai Yisrael compared to a moon? Because it's true, there are difficult times and challenges among the Jewish people, but also often very small. But we know that 2 weeks later, we know that a year later, 10 years later, 20 years later, 100 years later, 200 years later, the Jewish people, David Melech Yisrael Chavakayam, and so too the moon will also become full B'Shlei Musa at some point in time. That's an incredible sense. By the way, that's why Nashim get Rosh Chodesh. That's a topic for another time. But the idea of appreciating the moments that you have and seeing yourself, you're visioning yourself years into the future, and to be able to actually become what you've envisioned when you were at the stages in yeshiva is a tremendous, tremendous bracha. My bracha to you is that you'll be able to, what you see yourself doing now, you'll continue to have the same simcha sechaim from learning and from the chevra here. You guys are really a tremendous, who's always going to have a tremendous chevra for many, many years. You should continue with a sense of simcha. And just to end, what does it say? The Gemara, what do you need to have in the beginning? Lolam yilmad adam Torah b'makom shalibu chafetz. There is no question. Libu Chafetz is a place like the yeshiva in Shalaviv, and the chevra that you have now will ensure that for many years you will have that as well. It's been a tremendous pleasure and a stress. Everybody should have to hatzlacha on the rest of the month. And thank you for coming, everyone. Have a wonderful evening.